Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Joseph Gibson is running for the House of Representatives in North Carolina's District 65. We have to start voting for patriots who love this nation, and conservative nation media proudly endorses him. Joseph Gibson is one of those patriots, and it's not too late. We need to start realizing that there is not a different truth for everyone. As the liberals say, there is only one truth. A vote for Joseph Gibson for North Carolina's District 65 will help bring back the integrity Americans have been missing. Paid for by the committee to elect Joseph Gibson to the North Carolina House District 65. See you at the polls, patriots.
Color Only Day here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Conservative Nation Media has been around for 11 years now to give you the news that is fit to know about the state of America and what the politicians in Washington and around our nation are doing to our freedoms. We have strived to give you the true news that you cannot find in the lamestream lying liberal media, and because of our love for this great nation, we are growing again. With new shows on CNN like American Statesman with Sally Baptiste and Crazy Nation Radio with Ron Reck, we are getting well-known names to join our network to make CNN a stronger voice for America. We have others who may be joining us too. American Statesman airs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and Crazy Nation Radio airs mostly on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, with other times of the week when he feels the need is there. Join Conservative Nation Media for all of our shows on Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday with our Sunday show, American by Design, returning too. That's Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he can't.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men
most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Everybody, and I thought I'd do the show tonight about last night's State of the Union address, which went way beyond anything that I've ever seen. they had people who were there to watch specifically, and they were being paid to watch, and most of them said, this is hard to watch, we can't do this. And It was just amazing to see the things that were happening. And then he has a button for this Lakin Riley, who was murdered by an illegal, and he couldn't even get her name right, even though he was looking at the button that Marjorie Taylor Greene gave him. But what he did was he did an ad, which came directly from the speech last night. This is a new Biden ad campaign, juxtaposes images of the Ku Klux Klan with pictures of former President Donald Trump, the January 6th incident, and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Oh boy. Again and again, I see competing forces in the battle for the soul of our nation between those who want to pull America back to the past and those who want to move America into the future. President Joe Biden says, as a KKK image, the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Trump are shown. The issue facing our nation isn't how old we are, it's how old are our ideas, Biden continues. Hate, anger, revenge, retribution are the oldest of ideas. I see a future where defending democracy, you don't diminish it. I see a future where we restore the right to choose and protect our freedoms, where the middle class finally has a fair shot and the wealthy have to pay their fair share in taxes. The video has more than 500,000 views. Biden visited Pennsylvania on Friday
to kick off the tour of the battleground states. His reelection team will spend $30 million on an ad by the He Moves Quickly into U.S. General Population campaign after his feisty State of the Union speech Thursday. I think they had him on vitamin B12 and a bunch of other uppers. Deputy campaign manager Rob Flaherty said the $30 million ad buy over the next 6 weeks is more than the Biden campaign spent all of 2023. He said Biden's speech Thursday triggered the biggest day of fundraising yet for the incumbent Democrat. No figure was provided. Of course not. As of last month, the campaign had raised more than $42 million in January and had $130 million cash on hand for the general election battle. The $30 million ad will be aired at voters, will be aimed at voters across a wide array of digital platforms, and some will specifically be aimed at key Democratic constituencies, including Hispanics, African Americans, and Asian Americans. Ads will also run on popular channels, Comedy Central and ESPN. Now, I wanted to do this tonight on what happened last night. And I see I've got a whole bunch of people in there. 225 is in there, had his hand raised. I let him in. Hello.
How you doing, Robert?
Doing good so My far. Turn. How are you?
Is Lorianne here?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Lorianne.
I sure am. How do you do?
You know, I didn't watch it. I saw a lot of the clips to it. But what I did see is I saw a majority of Marjorie Taylor Greene did probably an hour and a half to 2 hours on RSBN. All right, with basically her boyfriend, you know, but on RSBN. And man, when she said what she said that the person, it's a woman now, who is the current sergeant of arms for the House, they come up to her and they can tell her, you got to take off your hat. She had a MAGA hat on, all right? You got to take off your hat. She said, either arrest me or fine me. I'm not taking it off. And the woman, the sergeant at arms, backed down.
Yep.
The
other thing that happened last night was that Gold Star Dad, who raised the fact of the Afghanistan thing, and they arrested him.
That's what I was just going to bring up.
Robert, you know what Dan Bongino says? Campaigns are all about sound bites and snapshots. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That night was about a bunch of that stuff. I mean, that's a poor relations thing to have. That's a poor snapshot to have arresting a Gold Star Dad.
Yeah.
Those sound bites that he gave. He couldn't even. That's a poor sound bite, not being able to get Lake and Riley's name right. Lakin.
Yeah.
It's Lakin. L-A-K-E-N. Lakin. All right?
Mm-hmm. He was looking at the button.
Right. I can understand somebody not spelling Lorianne's name right, but not when the name's on the button that he gives her, and the name was said by Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yep.
He said it. And he still can't get it right. There's a sound bite.
Yep. It absolutely is there.
And look, that whole thing was nothing more than a Democrat rally. all right? Because they know that if he tries to go, you know, to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or come down here to Baton Rouge, or come down here, go over to Dallas, Texas, or go over to Juneau, Alaska, or wherever, you know, and try to do a rally, he's not going to draw a dick.
Yep.
I don't think it really matters. I think it doesn't matter. There hasn't been any election integrity actions or legislation. Nobody has changed anything. Everything's still the same. So if they rigged it in 2020, then they're going to rig it again. It doesn't matter. They don't care. They're not scared of you. They're not scared of the people. They'll rig it again. They're going to put in who they want.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they're going to rig it for this guy.
If they decide to rig it,
because there's already been a hit put out on him, on Biden, by Obama, who's actually running the government. But that's, we can argue about that at another time. There's already been a hit.
I don't buy that.
Obama hates Biden. He's a useful idiot, but I don't know how much he likes Obama or not. I know we all know that Biden's a racist, but that's neither here nor there. And
Biden's been in government for over 50 years. He is a powerful, powerful individual. Whether or not he's stupid or not, it doesn't matter. He has a bloodline that's connected to the rich elites, and he is chosen to be the leader right now. And that's the way it's going to be. Yeah, he's going to be the fall guy too. But Trump is not going to be elected. Trust me. They're going to rig this election.
I don't think he's going to make it to the election, Biden. I think the elites want him out. They don't want him in there anymore. They want him out now. Who is it going to be? It could be freaking idiot from California. But that's, we can argue about that again at another time. But they want him out, Joe, because they think.
Yeah, but that's just, I don't see. I mean, I'm not worried about that anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter. What I'm worried about is, like I said, is that it doesn't matter who they put in there. I mean, it just depends how Biden, how stupid he acts, how retarded he acts from now until the election. You know, and they'll pull him out of there. But, you know, but it doesn't matter. The point being is that they have total control over our republic. The election is not going to matter anymore. I saw that locally in my election. I saw it firsthand. You know, now I am a believer. I'm a believer. It's rigged.
Well, you know, that's
and
the one thing.
You can do about it.
There's one thing that's going on here in New Mexico is we've got about 8 Republicans running against incumbent Democrats here, and there's a good chance this time they may win. I think I brought in Sarge. Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm still slightly. I shouldn't be. I know I shouldn't be. Shocked by what Biden was doing. They're desperate. They're losing badly. They pumped this guy full of all the Adderall in the region. Probably the shortage in the whole area because all the Adderall he had to take and was wearing off by the end of the day. And speaking of the Gold Star Father, I'm looking. They arrested the Gold Star Father, and there was not one arrest of all those pro-Palestinian demonstrators who blocked his way into the Capitol. 3,000 of them or so. Ain't not one of them gets locked up. Not one. I'm surprised they didn't charge this guy with insurrection. But look, Biden is a doddering, semi-senile, incompetent old man. That's when he's off his meds. When he's on his meds and he's taking the Adderall, maybe even the cocaine, maybe that was his bag of cocaine that got left in the White House. He's also a vicious demagogue who he gave us last night what he did for the American people. Had to be the vilest and most divisive State of the Union address in the history of the United States. It wasn't a goddamn single bit, shred, iota, or scintilla of grace or outreach. It didn't even reflect the kind of conciliatory gestures that Abraham Lincoln made to the Confederacy in the midst of a civil war. Yep. I mean, and then all of his priorities. He didn't say nothing about the United States. His whole priorities were to send billions of dollars to Ukraine. He didn't mention one time the border situation on the southern border. Now, while we barely mentioned it, except for the allusion or the aside to Lake and Riley, He didn't tell us what the end goal in Ukraine is. Just that we have to fight. We have to fight. We have to fight. We have to resist. We can't let him get away with it. He won't talk.
Oh, no. Well, he tries to claim that we have a secure border. He said that in his speech.
Amazing.
Oh, our border is secure. It's never been so secure. Like, bullshit.
Never.
I live
down
there.
And then
I'm
he goes on, and then look, think about it for a minute. He's going to inspire America. He didn't say anything about the State of the Union. He talked about his political. It was the one big fucking campaign speech. That's all it was. It was a campaign speech.
He gave
the
State of the Corporation.
The State of the American people who are looking for cheaper food, better roads, lower gas and energy prices.
You're not going to get it.
No more foreign wars. What are you going to do about the goddamn budget deficit and the debt? You didn't say a word about none of that. He's going to give us abortion. Abortion. More and more baby kills. More abortion. That's all he had to offer. Killing your babies, women, in the midst of a lowered birth weight by which we have to import illegals to make up the difference between the babies and women are not having. So American Nigel ain't having enough babies. We want you to kill as many of them as we can, and we'll help subsidize you to kill them. I ain't never seen nothing like this.
Well, you know, the thing that really made me mad. Yeah, the thing that really made me mad was that when Marjorie Taylor Greene actually made him acknowledge Lakin Riley, but then he turns right around and says, how many others have been killed by illegals? Well, who cares? You know, they're being killed, but this girl...
We're not supposed to hold the illegals, you big fucking goof! It's your job to keep them out!
Yeah, exactly.
What's the matter with this man?
Yeah, he didn't acknowledge that, you know, the guy that killed her was somebody that his policy let go,
several times.
You could have deported him, but you fucking didn't. You kept him here, you let him go, and you let him fucking kill this girl.
Did you get the thrust of his argument? This illegal killed an American citizen. But other illegals killed him, too. That's literally what the motherfucker said.
Yep.
I mean, I know. How are you supposed to make any sort of reason out of this?
I don't know if you can.
Other illegals
downplayed it.
Too. You're supposed to keep them out so they don't have the opportunity to murder any of us.
Yep. That's essentially what it's going at.
It's like we're going down a rabbit hole with this grotesque administration.
Yep.
The thing that really pisses me off the most, I guess, is that Hunter has not shared his cocktail mix that he gave to his father before the speech.
That'd be a good idea.
You know, I'm looking at Sarge. I'm looking at. I know we're talking about this, but this is something on Fannie Willis. Apparently, there's going to be an election in the fall for that Fulton County DA. Okay, they've already got two people. They say they're running, you know, and it's interesting because you got a woman who was one of Trump's lawyers who tried to help him out in Georgia with the election, and they got another SJW fucking black guy running as well. Now, what does that tell you? That they think that she's not going to make it? If they've already got people lining up to run against her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it a good shot that they're not going to make her, that she's not going to make it to the election? You know, that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they're already threatening to get Scott McAfee, right? if he doesn't come down on, quote, their right side, meaning she gets off scot-free, all right, and she has no punishment for lying, and she can keep being freaking corrupt. If he don't move that way, then they've got a person running against them that probably would rule that way, you know, and that and they're threatening to take him out of office, right?
When it comes to demon rat corruption, I don't know the depths, so I can't make any predictions of what they're going to do. But I tell you one thing: I just saw the White House logs they produced showing she made a visit to the White House and sat down with the president, vice president of the United States. Now she said under oath that she didn't, in a trial hearing, she did not go there and visit Kamala Harris. Now I know damn well she's not going to say, "Oops, I just didn't recall that I visited the White House and met with the vice president of the United States of America." I don't know what they're going to let her get away with. I can't predict anymore when it comes to demon rats. Their corruption is bottomless. The only thing I know is what they should do, and they should do it. The only question is whether or not they will.
Right. Right. Whether or not they will do it. Now, that's my point. My point is it seems like this judge is seriously thinking about hammering, well, I don't want to say hammering her because she's already gotten hammered by Boy Toy there, but that's neither here nor there. He was seriously thinking about laying, well, the more things I think about saying.
And double entendres are impossible not to make with this case, man. Just go ahead and let him go. There's no way you could avoid him. It's like being in a minefield.
Yeah, really. I mean, hammer, knock about, whatever you want to say. He's seriously thinking about doing that, and they're trying to get him out of that because they want her corrupt ass to be back on that case, all right? They want her on that case.
Yep.
Now, if she stays in trouble and he does what's supposed to be done, then he might get unelected and whatever. But she's not on the case, and they're having an election between two new fresh faces, and who knows what happens then?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, the judge is going to have to make his ruling rather soon, because there are now people crawling out of the woodwork to testify against her.
Yeah.
You know, there was two or three last week. How many more are going to come this week?
It's hard telling.
No telling. I mean, he said 2 weeks, and that was 2 weeks from, what, last Monday?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. So that's quick. That's Monday. That's going to be Monday, I think.
Well,
I think.
You know, if he wants to have paperwork and motions to stop coming into him, then he's going to have to rule, because people are coming out of the woodwork, their own statements and stuff like that, just saying that they lied.
Yeah.
On the stand.
And the problem for Fannie Willis is that if he does nothing, then more people are going to be able to file motions and come out, and this thing is going to be dragged out possibly through the summer into election season, and probably pushing Trump's trial.
let's just put it this way. If he doesn't rule against Fannie Willis, we'll take her into court under of appeals.
Yep. Yes, he will.
We're not done with Fannie by a long shot, unless he throws her off the case, and then she needs to be brought up on charges at the bar associations, both her and Wade, and Wade's buddy. And then they need to be brought up on charges in court, on criminal charges.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, ironically, she could be brought up on the very RICO charges she's accusing Donald Trump of. The very same thing.
Yep.
And, Boyd, I do agree with you. I'd like to see the trial happen because all the evidence of the stolen election would come out. But, you know, I don't think Trump's thinking that way. I think he wants it done with, and the fastest way to get it done with is to have her thrown off the case.
Yeah, he wants a campaign, and if he's got to show up for a trial, that's going to take him off the campaign trail. So I do believe that, you know, even though he would love to have a trial and bring all this stuff up, I think he thinks, and I think so too, it's more important for him to be out there on the campaign trail because he is a singular champion at doing that. And he can do his cause a lot more good than to be sitting around in a courtroom all day on this bogus, spurious charges, which was one of the intents of bringing all these criminal charges against him in the first place. To negate his ability to campaign.
Until we re-inhabit the major institutions of lawful government, you know, and terminate these illicit corporations posing as legitimate governments, in particular the territorial jurisdiction, United States Corporation, okay, which is 28 U.S.C. 3002, we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to get rid of anything because it's until we restore our de jure form of United States of America government. It's just not going to happen. They're going to keep you with these soap operas entertained. They're going to keep marching us into World War III. They said, Biden said, two fronts. You didn't listen to his words. He was telling us about everything that was going to be happening in the future. Okay? And if you're not with it, if you're not with him, and you're not on the side, the right side, the United Nations side, then you're going to be silenced. Okay? And you're going to be an outsider. And you'll be ostracized. Okay? So believe me, the global economy is in a backward spiral right now. The global institutions, financial institutions, are going to pull the plug soon. So, and the United States is right there in the sliding scale too. That's why they got the digital currency all rolled out. So, you know, they're telling you their plan. You guys are paying attention to this fanny crap. That ain't nothing, man. That's got nothing to do with nothing that they're doing. It's all there. They're put there to make you think they're important. They're not, you know, the real people run the show have already made their plans up, and they're telling you how it's going to go.
Well, you know how you eat elephant, don't you, Joe? You eat elephant one bite at a time. And we that's where we got to go. We are not up against an elephant. We're against a blue whale. It's a blue whale of what's going on for the last, and I think the road back starts with getting someone in office like Donald Trump. We're not going to be the fix-all. It's not going to fix everything. It's a start. It's a road back. The fact that
we
perceive him as a threat is enough to get him elected, for as far as I'm concerned, to support him for election.
But how do we end then? They're not going to end the heinous crimes against mankind, these commercial corporate prosecutions, corporate color of law venue, which is 27.
You're not
going to
end any of it. Even after we elect Donald Trump, they're not going to end any of that. It's going to take a long probably won't even be alive if and when the situation is corrected, failing an out-and-out revolution. We just got to realize it's going to take us a long time to eat this whale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 bites at a time.
Well, I don't hear Donald Trump talking about ending the Federal Reserve or talking about auditing the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, but he's
you know,
talking
he
about other things that are good. There's so many things you got to worry about that even he doesn't get rid of the Federal Reserve. He can do other things that will help to alleviate the situation so we can eventually get rid of the Federal Reserve.
How many people did he put in prison and prosecute from the deep state and swamp? How many people did he when he was president? Zero.
Not many.
Zero.
Some, but they were lower-level players. They were lower-level players.
Zero, stars. Zero. Lower-level players. Yeah, the Democrats did that. But anyway, you know, again, they're going to put – unless he's talking about doing this, I mean, I don't know. I'm starting to lose my trust in him because – you know, I think they got him hemmed up. They got him shook right now. So
I'm not seeing Trump as the be-all to end-all. He's not going to fix all of this. He is not. No one person can. It's too big. But look, we got to start somewhere. We got to start somewhere. And I think we'll get a pretty good start with Trump.
Yeah, but he's not going to win. They got the elections rigged. He's not going to win, Sarge.
I just brought in 904.
What needs to happen, guys, is, Trump, last time Trump, they say Trump got 75 million votes. What needs to happen is Trump needs to get 20 million more votes, get so many votes that it breaks
the
machine.
They're not there. Yeah, it's not there, brother. No. It's not there. Listen, these numbers analysis got actually they were on the Glenn Beck show. This woman called in. She's a numbers person, and she gave out her site. These people already calculated all the people in the country, the Republicans, Democrats, if they voted certain ways, this way, that way. They got it all calculated out. Trump can't win. The illegal immigrants that have come across this border that are going to be voting also pushes way under. Their votes are not there. They're not there.
Well, if that's the case, we have to go to Plan B then. In the meantime, we do what we can to try to get it elected. If we fail there, we're going to have to do something else. But we can't say we're not even going to try to get it. We're going to let Biden get back in there? Hell, we might have Kamala Harris as president next.
We've got to fix the election process. We've got to have voter integrity acts across this country. We've got to monitor these polls, man. They're using the same damn freaking machine.
I guarantee we're not going to have a nationwide... We're not going to have a nationwide fix on that in time for the 2024 election. I can guarantee you that. Yeah, that's you're right. We need to start working on it, but I guarantee you there will not be a nationwide fix before the 2024 election. What we need to concentrate on is those swing states. That's where he lost the election. That's where the fraud was concentrated. And we need to get those swing states back in line. We can maybe do that with at least two or three of the states before the election starts.
Okay,
go ahead.
Listen.
I just let in 904. I'm not sure who that is, and Ron Reck is also in there now too.
Listen, Trump ain't going to fix it. All Trump is doing right now is painting the picture. Okay? He is painting the picture for the people to see. We are the ones who are going to have to fix it.
Fix it, yes.
But he is painting the picture and showing us where and who and what.
Good. That's right. That's right. That's it.
Yeah,
that's like I said, for no other reason, if he does that, he will have performed an invaluable service to us. If he doesn't do anything else, what he's done already has been invaluable. And if he gets elected, it'll be even more so, because you just wait and see all these forces that are going to come out and attack his presidency and him. They will be beyond belief, but they will be exposing themselves.
Yep.
That alone is worth getting Trump elected. That alone.
Yeah, we have to realize here that this has been going on for a long damn time. One person's never going to change this, but one person can be a start.
Right. I think what's happened is we've seen him. He's pulled the plug on the swamp, right? He's pulled the plug. Now, we don't see the swamp draining because the swamp is so goddamn deep,
yeah.
Right? So,
right.
Well, we may not see the swamp start to drain until long after he's gone, probably maybe long after we're gone. I don't know. But he started.
Can I ask everybody a question?
Yes. Who is this?
904.
Yeah, and okay.
I'm just curious as to what makes you guys think Trump is going to win? Just curious.
What makes you think he isn't? The one reason why he wouldn't is because of the machine that's in there against him.
Particularly the one that, look, this is not going to be an election about voters. It's going to be an election about ballots. See, that's the problem. Ballots, ballot harvesting, drop boxes. In an honest election, I am utterly confident that Trump will win it. I have no doubt. But the election fraud is massive, and it was unaddressed. You couldn't even get it in the court to be heard on the merit. That is the only reason I am afraid Trump might not get reelected. Election fraud.
And Sarge, think about this. They just got rid of what's-her-name over there at the RNC who didn't want to start with, you know, who didn't want to do the expenditures on the ballot harvesting and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ballot harvesting is legal. You got to play by the rules that are set. Ballot harvesting
tell you
the
deal.
Are legal.
So I just
want to
ask, if Trump wins, then it's not rigged. But if he doesn't win, then it's rigged. That what you pretty much told me.
No, we're just following what we've been able, what the facts have shown us. That has.
What are the facts?
Trump gets off on all the charges and agrees to lose the election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
This question is perfectly legitimate. What are the facts? Yeah. The facts are these. That there was innumerable instances of audit being done by counties, particularly here in Georgia. I would refer you to Cherokee County, Henry, and Clay. They did post-election audits, not just recount, audits. And they found numerous violations of election law and ballot collection, harvesting, irregularities in signature verification of absentee ballots and everything else. No, and they were not. We could not get any of these cases into to be heard on the merit. Not any of them. Not anywhere in the country. Supreme Court turned down certiorari on all of these cases. That's the fact. Those are facts. The audits and the fact that we couldn't get any case into a court to be heard on the merit. Those are facts. And that's why we're saying the issue
of
election fraud. And it, when it wasn't.
Of...
Hold on, now, it wasn't. It wasn't every state that the election fraud was outcome determinative, because most of the fraud that occurred wouldn't have affected the outcome either way. It was in five key swing states. That's where it occurred: Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona. That's where it occurred. That's where this stuff happened. In those states run by rats.
Michigan.
I think a lot of people like you misunderstand the power of propaganda. You have a lot of people that are very, very stupid, and they will go by whatever the media tells them. If you have an entire media ecosystem that is literally running against you, because the media is supposed to be neutral by definition. It's not supposed to take sides when it comes to politics. It's supposed to be, when you have the entire media ecosystem that is literally taking one side against an opposing side, that's enough to convince dumbass people to go out there and vote against somebody like a Trump or like a Rand Paul or like even a Ron Paul or some just anybody that's conservative, because the media is clearly partisan. It's clearly biased, but
they still
have a lot of power over people.
What was it?
Because people don't research.
What was it? 2012.
So this is why I believe it kind of This is why I believe it wasn't stolen. Because there's enough dumb people to vote against them.
Where you want to come up? What was it? 2012, 2012, 2012, 2014, whatever it was. There was a there was a thing, and there was a article in the New York Times about how corrupt the mail-in ballots were, right? And they were bringing it up in Congress and stuff like that, right? And so, now, granted, this is before all this shit took place about changing the rules and midstream and all that stuff. But there was, and it was bull. I don't want to say it was bullshit, but it was because most of the mail-in ballots at the time when they were bringing it up back then, well, guess what? They were coming from the military, and they were coming from people that would basically be voting conservative, right? You know, so, and who was bringing it up? New York Times, liberal. A lot of liberals in Congress were voting it up, bringing it up, and stuff like that. Now, when the shoe's on the other foot, they don't want to hear anything about how mail-in ballots are corrupt, you know, and all this stuff. That's proven. That's a thing, you know. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, it can be corrupt at times, but, again, when you got – we had several things working. We had mail-in ballot corruptness. We had the changing of the rules in midstream about things like ballot harvesting. We had the freaking machines that weren't supposed to be hooked up to the internet and were, all right? So we had several things working against us in 2020, all right? Both human and electronic-wise and paper-wise, you know? So if you think about it, it was 2020 was the perfect storm, all right? Everything for the Democrats, it was a plan put together a long time ago, and it just came together for them in 2020. You know? That's why these people think long term. You know, we're conservatives and things like that don't catch on until basically it's too late. Right? You know? It's too late. They've already cheated. They've cheated to win the election. It's too late. All right? So, but they catch on, and we get, you know, 2,000 mules and all this stuff, right? And we can see, and we get them kicking the whole thing with the busted, so-called busted pipe in that building in Atlanta, and them kicking out the people, the poll watchers in Detroit, and putting up freaking cardboard or whatever it is over the windows so they can't look in the windows and all that stuff in Detroit and, you know, and all that stuff.
And the spike at 3 a.m. in the morning for a vote all for Joe Biden.
Yep. That's statistically impossible.
It is, and it happened. But they say, oh, no, most secure election in the history of the United States. When you hear people making hyperbolic statements like that, you know they're lying.
It's statistically impossible to happen, but it happened just like it happened when they were in Atlanta, they pulling all these totes out with the fucking ballots inside the totes. There's video of it. You saw it.
When Obama was elected, okay, they cheated there too, because they refused to count the ballots from the servicemen from overseas because they arrived 1 or 2 days late. And these were guys in combat zones. And they refused to count their ballots. And there was enough ballots in there to overturn the election.
Yep. Well, yeah, and we know why they did that. They wanted the first black.
What did you guys think of the State of the Union speech? Because I barely heard you guys talk about it.
Well, I think that
we started, but then we got on a different trail.
I think that Hunter Biden could make millions and millions of fucking dollars if he was to release his cocktail that he gave his dad before the fucking speech.
Before the speech.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, I sure wouldn't mind having some of it.
Was you impressed? Did you like it? I mean, what did you think about it?
What did I think about it? I think that Joe Biden went out there and opened his lips. And from the time he opened his lips until the time he quit and shut up, he was lying about every fucking thing.
Everything.
He didn't tell a truth about any of it.
Not a word, not a syllable, not a consonant, not a vowel. There wasn't a bit of truth in anything he said last night. He told about 30 lies that you can prove with objective evidence were clearly flat-out lies.
What did he lie about?
He lied about the employment,
yeah, I mean,
the new job that came.
It didn't take long for even the liberal media to fact-check, you know, and get their fact-checks out and going, yeah, no, this needs context. Yeah, no, that's not quite right. You know, like, even the liberal media couldn't freaking hide how many lies he told her.
He did not even, he lies by sort of telling the truth, of telling a kernel of the truth. For instance, with the new, he brags about the new jobs that have been created. He didn't say it. Most of them, or many of them, a great plurality of them are government jobs. And the ones that aren't, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, most of them were taken by illegal aliens or aliens, not by American citizens. That's just one of many examples of the way this man deceived and lied.
Well, actually, most of those jobs are low-paying jobs. That
yeah.
As a person struggling to pay rent and mortgage, you still have to find two jobs. So that
yeah.
so that was kind of misconstrued. It wasn't about no illegal aliens. It's just the fact that they're paying low-paying jobs. That's all that's available to you.
Yeah, but here's the other thing that I want to know. Okay, how do you count job creation when most of the jobs that are hiring people back from the COVID layoffs and the COVID shutdown? How is that classified as creating new jobs? He didn't create any new jobs. They're just bringing people back after COVID.
Right on. And here's another lie by omission that the guy did. He said he brought down the federal deficit. Nonsense. Much of that deficit reduction is because the COVID spending has been ended. That's why. Not anything that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and conveniently, you know, he's like, we're going to reduce the deficit over the next, you know, what, 3 years or something, you know, by $1 trillion. And it's like, well, but what he's not saying is that our spending is $1 trillion every 100 days. You know
yep.
what I mean? Like, that's not a reduction. Spending is increasing. You know, and he conveniently omitted that fact as well. You know, it's absolutely out of control how quickly we're going through money. And he did not mention the fact that, oh, hey, yeah, guess what? By next year, all of the tax revenue coming in won't even pay the interest to the Federal Reserve on all this debt. We won't even be able to cover the interest payments. Why do you think it is that he's like, I want to go after rich people, which that's another lie. you know, he's not just going after the rich. They're going after little ma-pa small businesses and stuff like that too. You know, so he's not just picking on the rich guys that aren't paying taxes. They're fair share. You know, and that bullshit.
Lorianne, that's another word or term that they don't want to define. Like it's like the rich. It's like assault rifle. You know, they don't want to define it. They can't define it. Who define that term? The rich. Who's the rich? Is it somebody that makes $100,000? Is that rich? Is that somebody that makes $5 million? Is that rich? Is that somebody that makes $50 million?
But again, you're not. You're not deciphering the government between de jure and de facto, okay? A de jure government established through a legal and constitutional process. That's what we were. We're not that anymore. We're de facto. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't affect the people are contracting with the de facto corporations willingly and unknowingly. We don't have to. Who cares what they do? Self-government.
I see.
So I say overall, you guys weren't fans of the State of the Union speech.
Now I have a question for you. Okay, you've heard all of our rants and stuff and opinions on the State of the Union. What is your opinion of the State of the Union?
I thought it was cliche. I thought he used a lot of Democrat talking points. It was essentially a campaign launch. Not only
yep.
that, as predicted, I knew the media was going to act like it's the greatest thing ever. As predicted, because he said a lot of things that the media, he touted a lot of media talking points, pretty much. So, and I think that they like the fact.
Wait, stop. Don't interrupt him. Continue, please.
Yeah. And I think that they like the fact that he actually went after the Republicans because the media is largely partisan. If you look at the media, it's largely not necessarily controlled, but if you look at most media personalities, they're mostly from literally two states, California, New York. California and New York are predominantly blue liberal states. So I think that in their biasness, they like the fact that he also attacked or went after the Republicans, which was pretty divisive in my opinion, but he went after them. They liked it. He was touting a lot of their talking points, and I knew, as predicted, every major outlet was going to act like he gave just the greatest speech ever. I thought it was cliche. That's what I thought, and I thought he did lie. He lied to a lot of it.
Yep,
so,
he did.
That's what I thought about it.
You summed it up pretty well, Al, sir. I think you got your finger on the pulse of what he was doing last night. That's exactly what he did.
Barack Obama's very first State of the Union speech was actually pretty good. It was much better than this. But they're acting like this is just the second coming of the Gettysburg Address, which it wasn't.
No, it was deliberately divisive. Like I said, Abraham Lincoln didn't sound like this during the Civil War. This man is just unhinged.
Well, it's enough to appeal to that side of the aisle. That's what it was. And then they're wondering why Republicans want getting up and clap. I mean, clap for what? I mean, what is he saying that's going to make somebody – well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it is. Hold on. Okay. Wait a minute.
Sarge, I can hear you trying to yell in the background. But all right, let me ask let me ask you one more question. Can I ask you, what is your name? You're what, 904?
Correct. My name is Mike.
Mike. Okay, so we got two Mikes. Okay.
Well, if you want to call me Mike P, you can go ahead. I'm Mike P, because my last name is Pavlon.
Well, my name is Papa, so I'm another Mike P.
Yep.
But let me ask
this one other question, 904 Mike. Where is 904 located?
That is Florida.
Florida, okay. So we got Florida. Okay, you be Florida man, and the other Mike's going to be Louisiana man.
Okay.
Sounds like a song.
You both are from the South too. So damn, this is going to be fun.
Well, Florida Mike's been on my show before, Boyd.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what's happening? This is Ron Rack from Crazy Nation Radio. How's it going?
How you doing? I don't remember, but how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Good. You mean to tell me you forgot ever being on Crazy Nation Radio? Oh, my God, really?
I can't.
You
got
to be the first one, brother.
It was so traumatic for him. He blocked it out of his memory. That's why,
it could be. It could be. I wouldn't doubt it. My show's a little harder.
Mike,
you like it.
Mike, just to let you know, Mike, this is Ron Reck. This is the king of the retards.
All right.
I'm almost eligible for a check, man. I'm working on it, though.
Ron Reck is the crazy whisperer.
Yes.
He's the crazy whisperer.
Why I'm on late at night, because children don't need to hear what I say about the truth. They don't like it. They should hear it. They really should. I should put it in public school.
Let me ask you guys this. Did you guys see the entire Tucker Carlson interview with Vladimir Putin? I'm talking about the entire thing. Not just the
clips
that they play on TV.
Yeah, I did.
All
right, I watched the whole thing,
All right, great. So let me ask you guys, why is it that the media never plays the part where Putin outright says, if Trump was in office, I wouldn't have attacked Ukraine because Trump is unpredictable? Like, they never – you guys notice they never, ever play that part?
No, I don't remember.
That's a part of it that the media doesn't want to focus on because
the liberal media knows that means
the only reason why is because Biden is sitting there and Putin is not afraid of Biden at all.
Correct.
He can predict Biden.
Well, because you're making money off of Biden. That's why it's all about the money, man. Yeah, there ain't nothing really fucking. Yeah, I mean, it's actually happening. It's all about the money. I guarantee it. I'll tell you right now, I came to the realization in life, there is no fucking parties no more. There is no parties, and who really runs this country in the world is the fucking
government. I don't necessarily agree. I don't necessarily agree it's about money. I think it's about power and control. And the thing is,
you need money for that, bro. You got to have money.
But the thing is, with Putin, the fact that you want somebody you think you can steamroll to do whatever you please. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty much what it is. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
of course, money is part of it. But still,
play guy. He's a pay and plug, and that's it. That's what he is. Giving money whatever the fuck you want.
Told Tucker Carlson, I wouldn't invade Ukraine if Trump was still there. He straight up said it.
Exactly.
It's not a conspiracy
right.
theory. It's a fact. He said that.
It's a fact. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that nobody is bringing up the fact of right now. During Trump, we didn't get into any wars, and the left all over the place were saying from Pelosi all the way down to every newspaper in the land was saying, yep, he's going to get us into a war. He's going to get us into a war. Now that Biden is there and we've gotten ourselves close to being in a war and there's wars all over the place, they're not saying a damn thing.
Agreed.
Well, the State of the Union was a campaign speech.
Argue what
on all
the
that
brink.
Fucking was.
And I would argue somewhat on the brink of even a civil war with all these illegals coming over here. And on top of that, Biden just being a totally divisive president in general. It's like turning the two sides against one another. Although it was been happening, so I'm not going to put all the blame on Biden, but he's amplifying it.
Yeah, well,
Go
ahead, Mike.
What I was going to say is there's a reason why. Remember that whole thing about the census, and they wanted to Trump wanted a question on there about are you legal or something to that effect, and they poo-pooed that.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, I remember.
And so what's happening now, yeah, we thought it was a good idea to send all these illegals to blue states and stuff like that. But what's happening is that's the whole replacement theory. They're rigging a system to get more power to the blue states by putting they'll count these. They can't vote, but they'll count them, and the counting of these illegals will get blue states like New York more representatives.
Yeah, and it's already happening. You know, all of the places, you know, there's no coincidence that all of the places that you see people leaving, people are flocking out of California, people are flocking out of Portland, people are flocking out of, you know, they're moving away from all this. And so it just so happens that most of those places they're moving away from are these sanctuary cities. So fill them up with illegal migrants, you know, and therefore it'll completely change the dynamics. That way, because all of these big cities, they don't want to lose that funding. You know, if all of these people leave and if they're not replaced, then they're not going to be allocated money.
Well,
you know, and they're going to lose that, and so they don't want to. So the census doesn't exclude people that are here illegally. The census is the census. It's just how many people there are, not how many citizens there are. And so we see it already happening, and new districts are going to be, you know, are going to be manipulated and changed and stuff. It's already happening.
Well, here's the thing. New York and California both lost seats in the Congress in the last census. So, you know, that portion has already happened, and I think they're going to try and regain those seats by de facto numbers. And that plus with their motor voter registration that they have in those states, that the illegals will be voting in the election that is illegal for them to vote in because they're not U.S. citizens, is going to be another portion of their cheating and fraud,
and they've already
because
talked
they're
going
they're going they're what they're what they plan what they will do is they're going to say, well, you know, we've got 80,000 people in this precinct that are going to vote, you know, that are registered voters. Well, lo and behold, of the 80,000 people, 20,000 are illegals, but yet when the voting is all said and done, you know, they're going to have 70,000 votes cast. Explain to me, you know, and they're going to say, well, look at all the registered voters we've got. This is legal.
Thing is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it when it's all said and done? Just say here Trump loses. What's our history? What are we going to do? Talk about
well,
it?
Well, I don't know, Joe. What are we going to do?
I don't
know.
I asked a question. I asked. What?
And I asked back. I don't know. What are we going to do?
Vote them
what
out.
Do you suggest?
We'll vote them out. Vote them out. God damn it. Vote them out.
Here's the deal. Think about it like this. One of the things Trump is threatening to do is mass deportation. Well, they really can't have that. What happens to all those quote new residents of say New York City or the Bronx or whatever that the quote new citizens of these new residents, if Trump deports those 80,000 people, they go back to losing their seats,
Well, Trump doesn't, Trump really does not have to deport. He can make them self-deport simply by cutting off all benefits and monies that they are getting from the United States government. And any sanctuary city or sanctuary state that cries for that money to come to them so they can disperse it should have all of their funds cut off.
Yep.
San Francisco.
Well, no, not San Francisco, California. Period.
Yeah.
New York State. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I believe Chicago is a sanctuary city, I think.
Yeah,
well, that's
where
the Federal
Most
Reserve crashes.
Most definitely it is. It's definitely a sanctuary city, yes.
The
people don't like
the Federal Reserve
there,
crashes the economy.
We have we have 404 Patrick calling in.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Hello to everyone. I'm kind of chiming in late, but I'm getting the gist of what you guys are talking about. I just have one question that's going to lead into some other things. What's the requirement to be able to vote in the United States?
It varies by state to state. It's a state matter. States have different requirements in different states, but generally speaking, you have to be 18 years of age because that's federal law. You have to be 18 years of age. You have to be a resident of the state that you're living in, and you have to be registered to vote. And you got to meet the particular qualifications. Yeah, U.S. citizen, and you got to meet the particular qualifications of the state. Now, you got to be a U.S. citizen to vote in a federal election, although the courts have ruled that states have the right to determine the citizenship of people who vote in local and state elections. But in a federal election, you got to be a U.S. citizen.
Okay, so with that being said, Sarge, for state and local elections, which is where your vote really counts, you don't have to be a U.S. citizen. And the reason why I'm asking that question, because it ties into illegal immigration. So is that true or is that false, where you don't have to be a citizen?
That depends.
On the state and local
that,
level?
That depends entirely upon the local government.
Not the state,
yeah,
but the local government. There's a,
that's right.
You got to differentiate now. So
well,
you can be an illegal immigrant. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You can. It depends on what election is being determined. If it's a city or a city local election for city council or mayor or something like
right.
that. This
police
the city,
chief, something
yeah,
like
the
that.
the city inside their boundary can say if they want that you can vote even though you're not a legal resident of the United States.
Got it.
Hell. They could say anybody can vote, come on over. We don't care if you even live in this frickin' state. But you can,
okay.
you can vote.
Okay,
that's
got
up to
the
local.
With that being said, let me ask you guys something, because I heard the woman speaking and then a few other people speaking. Do you guys feel that with that type of litigation that goes on, those type of parameters, that illegal immigrants can come in not voting, as Sarge says, not voting on the federal level, but voting on the state and local level, meaning that they can change or influence the laws where you live? Is that what we're talking about? Is that what's happening?
Well, it really
is a practical. Well, look, as a practical matter, I'm just, even though it is illegal for any illegal or non-citizen to vote in a federal election, as a practical matter, in the manner in which these states structure the election, it is entirely possible for them to allow illegals to vote, and there's not much can be done about it without diligent watchers to catch them in the act. That's the problem with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that, Sarge?
Here's the thing. Okay. All right. Most elections, you know, because of cost and money and all of this to put them on and all this crap. Okay. City elections, state elections, and federal elections all happen on the same day. Okay, at the same polling place and everything. And the other kicker is there's only one ballot with all the issues on it. Okay.
That's right.
So you go in as an illegal alien with the right to vote in the city election. Okay. That is the only portion of those ballots that you will legally vote. However, because everybody else is on the ballot in there, you can mark those candidates and issues and whatnot on that whole ballot because you got the ballot.
That's right.
And nobody will know the difference.
Oh, so what you're saying is that with the example that you just gave, that one ballot that's placed by that illegal immigrant on a local level translates to a state and federal level.
Yeah.
True.
Really?
See what we're up against?
I never knew that.
He walked out there, gets on a bus, and goes to another county and votes again.
Yep,
that's right.
And then that same vote gets counted twice.
Yep.
That's what they did 21 years.
Here's my question, though. The people who run the system obviously know this. So
oh, yeah.
is it the fault of the immigrant, or is it the fault of the people within the system who control it, who allow it to happen?
Yeah, it's the fault of the immigrants for being here illegally, and it's the fault of the people who create the system who allow it to continue. So it's the fault of both. The illegals ain't supposed to be here to vote illegally, and we're not supposed to have a system that enables them to do it. So you got liability on both ends.
All right, so Sarge, here's my question. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Plus, you have to understand, okay, they do not keep up on the voter registrations, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
There are people on the rolls to vote in an election who no longer exist on this planet. They're dead people. I mean, it's how Chicago operates. you know, everybody could be fucking Republican in fucking Chicago, but the day that they die, they automatically become a Democrat. And wow. They vote.
Well, Chicago is different. That's mafia town.
Yeah, but I'm saying that every state and municipality and who has the voter registration rolls, those rolls are so fucked up that anybody could do anything at any time and not you can't do anything about it. You know, okay. because they have X amount of people registered to vote, whether they're alive or dead, whether they still live there or they live someplace else.
How do we fix it?
I'm gonna quote something, and I know Sarge is gonna know this quote. I don't know who else is gonna know this quote. I'm gonna quote Ronald Reagan in the State of the Union address. He said, "Can we, the men of state who man the ship, deny that it is somewhat out of control?" How many people remember that quote?
Yeah, I do.
How many people remember that quote goes back to the 80s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sarge know what I'm talking about. Sarge, and I'm going to repeat it. Can we, he said this in the State of the Union, can we, the men of state who man the ship, deny that it is somewhat out of control? He was trying to tell you something back there. That was 40 years ago.
Well, what you refer to with regard to local elections, now that's where it gets critical. Remember you talked about local elections? Now we were just talking about what the cities are allowed to do and what they are allowed to let people vote. Now that is true for the most part because the states allow them to. But remember, every single state, every single city, in the United States, all of them, no exception, get their authority from the state government. They have to give each city a charter to operate. See, the states are indissoluble. You can't dissolve the states. But cities can and often are broken up or disbanded or made parts of other jurisdictions. That's not unusual. So every city charter from the state legislature to operate. And any state is free to impose restrictions on who can vote on any city if they have the will and the votes to do so. So we need to concentrate on getting people in these state and local offices who will do precisely that. Only allow cities to have charters that allow citizens to vote in all of their elections, local, county, and state.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Now, with that being said, everything that we're talking about isn't what we're talking about in terms of the indiscretions, the negativity, the imbalances of the whole voting system. Isn't that at the feet of the Democratic Republic of what the United States stands? Aren't they at fault for that? My point is, it's not innocuous. It's not organic. It's not something that's just springing up where we don't know where it comes from. We got it all dissected.
You have to remember, all right, this one little thing, and Joseph is on it all the way, is that we do not have the republic, the de jure government that we started with as a nation.
Got you. That's
true.
We
are operating under corporate law. Civil law.
Right. Right.
Or common law.
I agree.
Excuse me.
I agree. Common law. Yes. I agree with you. I agree. And okay, then we gave that write up. What did we do that once we converted to the Federal Reserve? Is that when we gave that up during the Roosevelt administration when they had the meeting in Jekyll Island on 1913 where they made the decision to create a central bank?
That was Woodrow Wilson. It's Woodrow Wilson.
Okay, but you guys understand what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Is that when that happened? Because when that happened, that changed the political landscape.
Yeah.
As well as the economic landscape.
Yes.
Right? Or am I?
Nope.
You know,
You're right. That's where things started to go south.
That's where they went awry. That's when we came up with Social Security Administration. That's where we came up with federal income tax. That's where we came up with all that stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, guys, here's something I bet you didn't know. These Democrats are starting to make plans to, and this tells me that they're thinking about losing the, that they're going to lose the election, that they're going to challenge, do basically what the Republicans wanted to do in 2020, but do it after Trump wins. They're going to challenge the election, right, in Congress. But again, the electoral count of, what, 1877, right?
Right.
Was what they went back and kind of clarified or whatever to take all the power away, to take a lot of the power away from the vice president, right? So if they try to do that, then they shouldn't be allowed to do that, you know, because they changed the rule, and not to say that the rules can't be changed back, but I don't foresee, for instance, I give you an example. Think about this now. If everything goes the way we think it's going to go and he somehow gets elected and Trump has coattails and we expand our numbers in the House and we flip the Senate, right, then we can shut down any type of thing by saying, well, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. You know, now, granted, they can come back. You know, they can come back and change the law when they – if the House flips, they can come back and change the rule on January 3rd, 4th, or 5th, right? And then have all their freaking challenges to the election if he wins. So we got to – hopefully Trump wins and has coattails. We keep the House. We flip the Senate, and there you go. Everything's – well, maybe not good to go, but again. And hopefully – what happens is in California, if Steve Garvey somehow pulls off a victory versus motherfucker, TP hoaxer and all that shit that's running for that Senate seat.
You mean pencil neck?
Out there in California. Yeah.
Adam, shit for brains.
Yep.
Well, let me put this on record. Just based on what I saw, and before I chimed in, I heard you guys talking about the State of the Union, and I chimed in on that last night. I was flipping channels, and I saw it was on. I only watched it for about 20 minutes, and I was listening to Joe Biden. I'm just going to put it on record. For whatever it is that's going on, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. Trump is going to win again. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know why it's going to happen. He's going to win again. And then when I really looked in a vacuum, I was like, here we got a guy that was president. They tried to impeach him. He's up on federal indicted charges. He won the nomination, the GOP nomination. Then we got this other guy who, from a, and no disrespect, there is no way this guy can do another 4 years in office. I'm sorry.
Right.
He was coughing
well,
last
as,
night.
As long as
he couldn't even, well, wait, let me finish. He couldn't even get through sentences without coughing. And I'm looking at this man and all this makeup they done put on him. And I'm just like, why is he's been in the political arena for how many years? What was the other
48.
Guy? I'm here in Georgia. Who's the other? Sarge. I'm here in Georgia. Who's the other guy that was in political office for like, he's like the LeBron James of politics. He was in politics for like 60 years. He literally died in office. I don't know if he was in Georgia,
Kennedy,
South Carolina. What's his name?
Well, I think you think about Robert Byrd. I think you think about Robert Byrd. He was West Virginia.
Well,
he
and how
Robert
Byrd
is from
my representative
Thurman.
From Alaska. My representative from Alaska holds that title. Name is Don Young. He was in there the longest of any representative in the nation at any one time. And I think it was close to 50 years.
Now, would you guys agree? Isn't that too long to be a bureaucrat?
Yes. I agree.
Come on. 50 years. And somebody said, what was his name? Strom Thurmond, I think. He was in there for like 60 years or something. Some crazy number. I don't know. I don't mean to discredit what you're saying. My man, I was talking about the guy from Alaska, but
well, that was the House of Representatives,
right?
Thurman was a senator.
Back in the day, didn't Andrew Jackson say that when he was saying that nobody should be in office more than 10 years? Who was it that said that? Nobody should be in office more than 10 years because when they get beyond that point, they're not dealing with the best interests of the whole. It becomes, you know, the interest of their particular sphere that they're operating in. Sarge, you know who said that. I don't remember the quote exactly. But they were like term limits. You had Andrew Jackson, all those guys back then. They were like 4-6 years. They went back to being farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got guys who are making a career out of being in office. Who's the guy, the black guy that died that was part of the civil rights that Biden talked
John
about?
Lewis.
John Lewis.
How long was he doing it? He was doing it for like 50 years. As a black man, that's too long. You're not supposed to be involved in something like this, that important for that long. Get in, do your 15, 20 years if you really love it. Do 30 years. Then get out.
Do you know what caused a lot of the consternation about Franklin Roosevelt? The mode for the model was established by George Washington. That man could have remained president for the rest of his lifetime if he had chosen to.
He only did four years.
He did two terms. But the thing of it is, he could have stayed there for as long as he wanted. He gave up. Remember, he gave up the op- opportunity to be a king when Congress wouldn't pay his soldiers, and they wanted to install him as king. And he
right.
told them, no, you do not betray the ideals of the revolution. And then he
right.
gave it all up and went back to his farm. Due to overwhelming and popular acclaim, he was the only man in the history of the United States to receive every single electoral vote and get into office for two terms. Both times he got every single electoral vote. And then he said that was enough time for anyone to be in office two terms, and he hung up his hat. And that stood as the model for every single American president subsequent to that until Roosevelt. No president served more than two terms ever until Roosevelt.
Well,
and that's why, Congress and the American people said, we got to have a constitutional amendment to prevent this from ever happening again. And that's when they passed
right.
the 20th Amendment to prevent a president from serving more than two terms.
But
yep.
but you have to add two Sarge. George Washington, and I don't mean to go off a beaten path, he was given apotheosis. For you guys that don't know what apotheosis
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. Rightly so.
He was given apotheosis, meaning that he was seen as a deity, not a god.
Demi-deity, not quite a full deity, but a demi-deity. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It is impossible to overestimate the esteem the American people had for George Washington in his day. It is impossible.
So,
you think of a combination of a star athlete, a rock star, and a movie star, and you're approximating the esteem most of the American people held George Washington.
Right. So to Sarge's point, those early presidents were deists. They weren't Christians, they weren't agnostics, they weren't Gnostics, they weren't any of that. They were deists. So that's George Washington, Andrew Jackson, and you can go up the ladder up until about the middle 1800s. Then it kind of fell off the beaten path, and then you had President Lincoln, who wasn't a deist. He was, I would like to call, and some may disagree, he was a libertarian in my estimation. I could be wrong in how I view that, but he was the first libertarian president that we had, because he was for the North. He was like, all right, the South, I understand, this is how you guys make your money. However, he took a page out of England's book, The Royal Kingdom, which had already banned slavery at that time, and he was like, yeah, we can't do this anymore. This is unethical. It is immoral. Even though we are benefiting economically from this, and I feel like that precipitated the Civil War. Because the Civil War wasn't about black and white. The Civil War was about economics, how money is being made. If you really want to
remember, too,
it.
That Abraham Lincoln was, when he initially took office, yes, he would have the preference to abolish it immediately. But his main party platform when he ran for the Senate in Illinois against Stephen Douglas, which he lost, he simply did not want slavery to expand into the newly acquired territory.
That's my point.
He wasn't trying to abolish slavery in a place where it already existed.
Yes. Yes. It was economics. It was like, okay, you guys in the South, if that's what you want to do, you can do that. But if you're going to try to expand this throughout the territories, we can't have it. We can't do business like that. We have to come up with another industry. And that's when the United States, what we call America, went from the agrarian age to the industrial age. Because you notice when he did that, then we had the industrial age come in with Henry Ford and the factories and mass production and things of that nature. So the economic system shifted from agriculture to industry. And he was at the forefront of that, I believe.
Well, I think it's kind of a chicken and egg argument, because the rate of technological advancement was such that industrialization was inevitable. The only question was, how was it going to clash with the agrarian interests of the
Right. I agree.
Well,
industrialization
was going to come hell or high water, given the rate of technological advancement. There was no way it could not.
But Sarge, you have to admit that the entrepreneurs at that time, which if we look at Lincoln time frame, the timeline, you had Henry Ford, you had Carnegie,
Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan.
You have J.P. Morgan, and we're not talking about the Rothschilds. We don't leave them out, even though we know they
bankrolled
the whole situation.
The Rothschilds
were bankrolled all of it.
The other ones were industrialists.
They were industrialists. And then who came up with Shell and U.S. Steel?
That was J.P. Rockefeller. That was
Rockefeller. That was Rockefeller.
Shell was out of Denmark.
Really?
He came up with Standard Oil was his name.
Standard Oil
Standard Oil
was Rockefeller.
Was Rockefeller,
and it's now through all of the incarnations and stuff from buying and selling themselves on the market, it's now BP.
If we look at the timeline, we have Standard Oil, you have Ford, you had U.S. Steel, and then you had DuPont, right? At that same time.
Well,
you had DuPont, and you had the Wrigley family, and then you had the Hunt family. Those were the major families that were moving everything in the United States into the industrial age.
Yeah. Well, let me make a minor correction on everything that you've said. Okay.
You
are absolutely right, on who was doing what and everything. The minor correction I have to make is that all of these guys did not hit their prominence and stuff until after the Civil War.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
It was after the Civil War that these guys came into their being. And what did the Civil War bring all of that on? I do not know.
Yes, it did, because that's what I started out talking about, going from the agrarian age to the industrial age. Because pre-Civil War is an agricultural nation. That's where the money's at, agriculture.
You also got to remember
the
this,
Civil War,
that the Civil War accelerated the need for industrial capacity because of the arm and Union Army and the railroads in particular that were necessary to sustain the logistical pipeline.
Exactly.
So there's no doubt the Civil War accelerated the Industrial Revolution in the United States.
That brings in another family. That brings in the Vanderbilts.
Oh, forgot about them.
Yeah.
Yes. Big family. Big family.
But, here's the thing. Okay. We were mainly an agricultural nation prior to the Civil War. Yes.
True.
However, yes. However, the South was pure agricultural economics. The North, however, had the industry, was in the North more, you know, and I mean, that's where everything was built, was pretty much in the North anyway, to begin with, even though the North was highly agricultural also. But all the industry, most of the industry in the United States at that time was located in the North.
I agree.
Okay.
No.
So let me slip something in here that may go along with part of our conversation.
Slip us a Mickey, y'all. He about to slip us a Mickey, y'all. Don't fall asleep.
Yes. It has to do with the racist Democrat. And stuff like that. Now, did anybody watch the State of the Union and pay attention to the audience in the State of the Union?
Yes,
I did.
That
I
was
did.
The
you
one
did?
Thing I focused on.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, let me ask this one question. This is my statement. It's not a question. This is my statement. I have not seen the Democrats wear so much white since they gave birth to the KKK. Have any of you?
Nope. It was striking. I got to admit, I think they were showing their solidarity with the Palestinians by that gesture.
Palestinians, yep.
By the fact that they were flaunting their racist colors, their KKK colors, that
mm-hmm.
and they we got to remember the Democrats formed the KKK, and their color was white. White sheep.
Let's make hay out of it. Let's make hay out of it. I agree with you. Let's ride it for all
wow,
it's worth.
Wow, that's that. You know what? You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you, because I saw them panning out to the crowd. I really didn't pay any attention to that, but now that you bring it up, and knowing the Democratic Party and where they came from, and they are the, you know, as much as we backlash the Republican Party, the Democratic Party were, you know, they were the ones that were in favor of slavery and that whole agrarian age that we were talking about. Man, I didn't even peep that last night. I wish I could hit replay on my thing so I could watch it.
It's on the web. Just go on YouTube. They got the whole State of the Union there if you want to watch it.
I'm on YouTube. I'm on YouTube as we speak. But I'm not going to look that up. I'm going to take your word for it. But I'm like, man, they really did that last night.
In fact, the last few State of the Union addresses. All the Democratic women were wearing their KKK colors.
Damn, I got to start paying attention, man.
I will admit this, that was not my observation until somebody else pointed it
brought
out.
Brought it up? Okay.
Yes.
I got to, man.
So,
can you drop a link in the chat? Can you drop a link in the chat? Just on the video.
Well, I don't think I can find it. Wait a minute. I think I dropped it.
Yeah, you're right about that, boy. But here's
here's the deal. That's not the way they think about it. That whole wearing white with these people is not about racism. It's about abortion with them.
Yeah, but wait, Michael, Mike, just chill your jets on that. It doesn't really matter whether it was about abortion or what. That was their racist KKK colors. Period.
Hey, listen.
They don't give us any leeway on anything that they can make hay out of and call us racist or whatever. Why should we do it for them?
Do you remember the little kid at the Kansas City Chiefs game with one half of his face painted red and the other half painted black, and they photographed his face from the black side only, and they were talking about he was making fun of black people and trying to bring back minstrel shows? That was the case for 2 days of outrage over this little kid who's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Remember?
Okay. Hey, now,
oh, I don't. Let me interrupt
just momentarily. I got the link in the chat room for that meme that I saw
it.
That brought this all up.
I got it.
And think about this.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, the Democrats, we know about the KKK stuff, but think about this. What did they do with Trent Lott?
Oh,
Trent Lott,
shit.
When he wished Strom Thurmond happy 100 or whatever it was at the time, he said to Strom Thurmond, you know, if you would have won your election and became president, we wouldn't have been in this. We wouldn't be in this situation. Now, this was 25 years ago, whatever it was. Strom Thurmond's long dead, but by saying that, he got Trent Lott got his ass run out of Congress just by wishing Strom Thurmond a happy birthday like that. You know.
Oh, let me ask the host a question. I just pulled up the link and I'm looking at the picture. These are all women.
Yes.
Why is that? What's the symbolism with it being all female?
Well, it's solidarity for one thing. And solidarity on what? I haven't got a fucking clue, nor do I really give a shit. But, you know,
well,
they have gone back to their old team colors.
And I see a black woman in all white.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of the aisle.
They're all wearing white.
Yeah, it's supposedly for reproductive freedom, you know, as a protest against, you know, the reversal of Roe versus Wade and the fight for women's reproductive rights.
Wait a minute. Hold up, sweetheart. What the hell is and I don't mean no disrespect. What is reproductive freedom? What does that mean?
Abortion. That's what it means.
Yeah,
that
it means abortion. Yeah, you know, that's the colorful term.
Wait,
you know,
they gave
women's reproduction rights means the ability to go in and chop your fetus inside of you into little bits and pieces and remove it. That's called reproductive rights.
Oh,
plus
sell
the organs.
God. Man,
plus
I'm so behind the curve.
Plus sell the fetus organs.
Yep.
So,
I'm so behind on all this stuff. God.
Well, excuse me. I have to ask this question because I've heard your voice before, and I know I've asked the question before, but my old man brain is getting to be like Biden. Slowly, though. What is your name?
You're talking to me? Me?
Yes.
Oh, my name is Patrick.
Patrick, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Patrick. I am sorry, but I can do good on voices and I can do good on faces, but trying to match voices and faces and all that stuff
don't worry about that. Yeah. Me and Sarge go back like four flats in a Cadillac. We go back. Me and Sarge go back about 10. We go back more than 10 years, me and Sarge.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, and by the way, I've been searching through the panels of BTR looking for that show we were on Sunday. Can't find it. I don't know the name of it, but I can't find it, you know.
Sunday.
Yeah, you, me, and Joseph were on that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow. I'm still looking at this photo in amazement. You guys have to forgive me. I didn't see that last night.
When that thing popped up,
popping in and out, I wasn't really paying attention to it because Biden was just. I'm like, I'm 63 years old.
I couldn't listen to him. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. This week, this boy is going to lose, well, with the help of Ron Reck, instead of I'm losing 3.5 fucking hours this week. Because I listened to the State of the Union, which was an hour I can't get back. Then Reck on his show that night played most of it. Again, that was another waste of my fucking time. And Saturday we got to change our time.
I go back with Ron Reck. I go back him, with him as far as Sarge. Ron Reck.
Yeah.
Because Ron Reck used to be on the same show as Sarge that was on the same show. Sarge, what was that show? Late night that we did from like 12 midnight to like 6 in the morning. The guy in Tennessee. I know
Perry
Sarge
Steele
is
show.
Still here.
Perry Steele.
Who?
Perry Steele Show.
Yes.
I was the host of that show. I turned to the host.
What? Really?
I hosted that show for 3 months. Oh, yeah, we was number one. I had that fucker top number,
even,
man.
You don't even remember me, do you?
Yeah, I remember you. I'm only slightly retarded. Don't listen to the shit these other people say. I'm just slightly retarded. You know, I'm still the greatest fucker.
You're only slightly retarded?
Just slightly? Yeah.
And, host, if you didn't know, Perry Steele, back in the day, was like the Jerry Springer of BTR. Mm-hmm. His show didn't come on until after 12 midnight. But then it would go until like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And, man, we used to go, when I say buck wild on that show, and my man will tell you, that show was fuck wild. It was crazy.
Well, do you remember me being host of the show? What Perry did was, I'm going to pick somebody, I'm going to hand the keys to this show because I got shit I got to do. My mom's not doing well. Blah, blah, blah. His mom died and everything else. It's just south, you know what I mean?
I remember that.
I'm going to pick somebody.
Yeah, because
I'm taking Ron Reck, because that silly white motherfucker, I'm taking him. He's going to be the host of your show for, you know, wherever long you get the key. So I became the host, you know, and me and Antoinette got together, and she teamed up with me. And
I remember Antoinette.
Excuse me, Ron.
Hey, listen, everybody in the chat room, if you want to continue, you better call in right now. It's almost over.
I'm calling.
Over.
Nobody's answering.
He just left us 2 hours ago now.
Biden 2024's plan.
If you're in here now, you're here. So anyway, Antoinette, she was good with me too, but we had you on our own. Yeah, hello.
Can we help you?
Yeah, place your order at the window, sir. What can we get you? What would you like?
Yes.
Are you going to use the mobile app today? Are you going to use the mobile app today?
Right wingers calling in, talking about Trump. I am solely on board for Biden 2024 plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hell yeah, brother. Not Joe. I'm talking about Hunter. Hunter 2024.
I don't
know if you guys know
him,
this, but by the way, he's an Eastern European oil executive. He's a Chinese financier. He's also a North African land manager. He's a world-class painter. And he's done all this while high on cocaine and bank hookers. If that's not presidential, I don't know what means. It's Biden 2024.
That's what made me a rock star.
I called him three times.
And Hunter, Hunter can be a multimillionaire entrepreneur if he puts that drug cocktail that he gave his old man last night out on the market.
Oh, I'm saying, fuck yes. Whatever Joe was on, I want some of it. I'm going to start calling people. Fucking
no, you don't. You don't want to be looking that old and still alive. You know.
No, that dude was jacked up. He was jacked up on everything. I mean, from heroin, meth, coffee, whatever, cocaine. I mean, he was zapping, dude.
Even if you don't know anything about drugs, he looks bad. He looks like he shouldn't even be doing what he's doing. Now, I'm not casting aspersions on his political acumen because he's been in the business for over 50 years. Okay. Go sit down somewhere. Go ride off into the sunset, man. Go be in Oregon.
He's not
going to
stop fucking people until he takes his last goddamn breath, man. That's when he's going to stop fucking people. He's a professional fucker. That's what Joe Biden is.
Okay.
He's been fucking, he found out that he could fuck people over like no tomorrow, and he's continuing on. Carry on my way with some. There'll be peace in the world.
That's
what he's doing. He's carrying on.
I didn't want to say that, but he said it for me. I didn't want to say that. Because I know Joe Biden's past. I know in the 80s when Nancy Reagan was talking about, what was the slogan that Nancy Reagan came up with? Say no to drugs. And then they passed the three strikes law. Joe Biden was at the forefront of that one.
Yes, sir.
Strikes you out.
He wanted to be popular. He wanted to be number one.
That means you could be a two-time felon, and somebody could just say you stole something. You didn't have to do it. And then the next thing you know,
but he did back up. He did say about the marijuana laws, though. He's going to drop down the laws and shit on marijuana.
I just want to add to Lorianne's the reproductive rights thing and the women wearing white. And who is responsible for the Margaret Sanger, the genocide of, minorities, black community. So that's all tied in together with the reproductive rights as far as being racial.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask the lady a question, if I may, when she brought up Margaret Sanger. Because that was, and actually, it wasn't even Margaret Sanger. It was Bill Gates' dad who became the head of Planned Parenthood before Margaret Sanger. Did you know that? The woman that's on the line? Bill Gates' father was head of Planned Parenthood before Margaret Sanger. Then he brought Margaret Sanger in, and then they ushered in that whole initiative legislation diatribe.
Oh, yeah, they're all tied in together.
If it was Bill Gates that you're talking
his
about,
father,
it would have had to have been his grandfather.
No, I'm saying it was his father that was part of his father springboarded Planned Parenthood, and then they put Margaret Sanger in charge of that. But you can go back to, and I would like the female to comment on this, the woman that's on the line. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say female. That's disrespectful. The
hey,
woman
no
that's
worries,
on the
dear,
line.
That's what I am. I am
she's not
okay.
female.
I am
we don't
a
know
woman.
What if, we don't know what the
fuck woman,
is. But anyway.
That's, the,
my
the
name
woman
is Suzette.
That's on the line. I wanted,
yeah, Suzette.
Suzette.
Don't get
I wanted
like
to
a weapon.
Go back.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to go back to Ayn Rand. Do you guys, are you familiar with that name?
Oh,
and
yeah.
The
yeah.
Rand Corporation?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She
yep.
was
mm-hmm.
she was really the forerunner for that whole thing. Ayn Rand.
You know, I still don't get
because,
this abortion rights thing. Maybe I need to explain to me. What is the big deal? There's the ones that don't want it to happen. There's the ones that want it to happen. You know, whatever happened to fucking free will? If you want to fucking chop the baby out of you, you should have that fucking option. It's yours. You fucking own it. They don't. But since we're a production model, we're not born living, being sold people. We're production. We are production. We're fucking parts. That's all we are. We're fucking, we're produced by a corporation, mom and dad. They're the manufacturers of us, the product.
All
so
right,
when we
CJ,
say reproduction, just, should it matter? Should it matter if you make a choice
yes.
to abort the child or
yes.
if you, yes, you can or no, you can't? What's the deal?
No, it matters who? Because it's a moral and ethical argument. CJ, hook him up.
There again, like I said, Matt, if a person decides to do that to themselves, like being gay, if they want to be gay, that's their fucking choice. Should it be treated just like fucking,
But no,
rights?
No. When you're talking about reproduction, you're talking about the actual evolution of a species. You're talking about creation. So really,
well,
what
ain't
it
becoming gay,
down to?
Ain't becoming gay the same thing in creation of some sort?
No, it's not. Let's separate.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay, what is
it? Let's separate the two. We're not talking about mm-hmm. whether you're gay or straight. We're mm-hmm. talking about whether you're going to be alive or not be alive. So now mm-hmm. what we're really talking about is a control mechanism on how we are going to reproduce. Not what we reproduce creates, meaning you're going to be, once you're talking about gay or straight, that's after reproduction. We're talking about reproduction. So do you want to reproduce or do
so
you not?
But here's my question. What do you think? What is your part on this? You don't want it to happen or you do want it to happen?
I don't care?
If we
don't reproduce, we will die off. We will become we have to reproduce. So we can't be involved in this legislative, doctrine of, okay, well, we're going to just kill off offspring as we see fit. That's some really crazy, that's like playing God.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I believe in free will, bro. But it's free fucking will.
Fine.
It's up to the individual.
It ain't up to the government.
It ain't up to the insurance company.
I'm not arguing free will. I'm not arguing that. So if you want to kill your baby, go ahead.
Yeah.
However,
you gotta live with it.
I'm not gonna allow you to create a law that allows everybody to do what you feel like doing. That's the difference. If you want to do it, go ahead.
It's up to you. Exactly. Exactly. That's my point, man. Why are we wasting our fucking time with this? If people want to terminate a pregnancy, whatever, that's their fucking choice.
The reason the reason why we're wasting our time with it is because it goes from you doing what you want to do to everybody having to do the same thing. That's why.
So we all got to pop out babies for production to be more slaves in the system, right? That's what you're saying? Produce more,
what I
call it human farming anyway.
What I'm saying is that when you make the decision that that's mm-hmm. not what you want, that shouldn't affect the rest of the population.
That's right. Exactly. Want. That's correct. And I agree with you on that 100%. That's why that's the
okay.
thing I don't get. Why is it not an effective free will? Do what you want with yourself. You want to put a tattoo on your body, which is a permanent thing? Fine. You want to cut your baby out? Fine.
But
a permanent thing. You have to live with it. I don't see the benefit from it anyway. You've got too many people. You've got too many people any fucking way on the planet anyway.
Here's the rub. You can do that. However, mm-hmm. what the politicians are doing is trying to create something that's unilateral, meaning that
right.
you can
right.
do what you want to do, but they want to create this blanket entity where, okay, if he decides he wants to do that, then everybody has to do that. You can't do it that way.
Well,
that
it doesn't have
work.
To do that. No, man. Just free will is you have choice. That's what that means. I mean,
but you don't,
you know,
but see, here's the reality.
Just because you want doesn't mean everybody has to do it. No, that's not the way it works. If you decide to do it, it's your choice. Not so much. If you don't do it,
here's
don't do it. That's,
you don't live in a free will society. That doesn't exist. That's
okay,
not
so
the world we live in.
So we have these laws that make we if we get pregnant, we have to have this baby regardless
yep.
of what we want to stop.
Yep. Yep. Ain't no okay. free will. And guess what? Now they didn't come up with these laws in regards to what you're talking about. Now they didn't come up with these laws that depending upon what state you're in,
right.
it could be a crime. It could be a crime.
Yeah. I know.
If you abort that baby.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So
that,
with
that,
and that
is
with that
That
right there, that eliminates your whole free will argument. Null and void. It's not free will anymore.
I'd be able to walk out of that. There's no, I can't see how a person can make that fucking decision for their own body. That's their own fucking choice. They can do that. I mean, but you know, suicide is illegal. Suicide itself is illegal in a lot of states. You know, who are you going to fucking convict?
How is suicide illegal?
It's a fucking crime in a lot of states, man. It's a crime.
How is it a crime when you're dead?
Well, any reason we can come up to collect money off you, we don't give a fuck.
It's a crime. It's a crime. It's a crime if you fail.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So then we can get some money out of you for fucking being stupid. That's what it's
however,
all about, man. It all comes down to dollars. Every time it fucking turns around, every law and rule you have to live by, at the fucking end of it, there's money about. Every fucking time. There's not one case that ever goes on, ever on the fucking planet Earth, the United States of America, there is not a fucking money deal. I mean, next time I go to a fucking court, I'm going to walk into court and say, Judge, how much do you fucking want to get this over with? Because at the end of it, I know you're going to want money. You're going to want me to fucking 2 years of paper. And pay this fucking bitch over here fucking $35 a month or $70 a month for the bullshit scam you got going there. So how much money is it going to take? So we don't waste the fucking time. Because that's what it turns out to be in the court system. It always turns out to be money. No, you know, you ran through the South Lane, okay, well, you pay me $75, $100, and you pay this shit $35 a month for the next 2 years to be on unsupervised bench probation, which don't even need technically a fucking law. But that's the way they do it. They come up with excuses for all kinds of shit. Now, okay, man, the dump. We have a transfer station. We don't have an actual dump. We have a transfer station in my area. This is the Ozarks. This is all fucking organic land, you know? Anyway, they just, this past month, man, they put a sign up on the window. There is a $2 environmental fee now. For what?
Wow.
Why would you even say that? Why don't you just put in the amount you're charging
carbon
for, you know?
Well, it's carbon monoxide emissions.
Well,
that's what they
okay.
call it.
Yeah, well, that's also it wants to plug up every cow's asshole too for, you know, that fucking methane problem. You remember, you know, I'm just saying, bro, it's, why isn't free will here? We're supposed to have free will. We're supposed to be fucking free, which we're not. That's a fucking lie. That's one of the biggest lies. You ain't fucking free for shit. If we was free, so, why do we have to pay to do things?
So let me ask you, a question. Let me ask you a question. So you feel that when we're talking about life, and a life being created, do you feel like that is up to the individual, or is it up to the state or the government to decide we're going to let this life go through the 9 months, go through fruition, be born, or are you on the side where you feel like, man, at any moment, I can get rid of it?
No. No, no, no. I would say that's the limitation about 3 months. 3 months in the beginning of the pregnancy. 3 months, that's it. So
that's the three months mm-hmm. is the first trimester.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that legally, did you know, and I hope CJ is listening to this, because I wanted her to chime in. That's the first trimester. Do you know in some states, a woman can be in the third trimester?
Yeah.
Still terminate.
Yeah. Motherfuckers be alive in a being, an actual being, and kill it when it's born. That's how far they wanted to go with that.
And they have arms and legs.
Yeah. And living, breathing.
And they can
all that.
Terminate. Now, are you in agreement with that?
Am I good with that? Well, I don't know. I'll have to think about that. That sounds like a damn good deal, but.
Okay, CJ, I need you to take over. Talk to this man, because I want to chime in. I want to hear what you got to say from a female perspective. Come on, CJ.
From a female perspective, I think, well, personally, my opinion as far as after the baby is born, he took his first breath, and then they set it to the side in a blanket till the mom decides what she wants to do. I said, that's murder. And it's a baby.
Yeah.
And in the womb itself, you spread your legs, you're being responsible.
We're talking pre-birth.
Okay,
not,
pre-birth.
Not that point.
It's a human. You know, they want to say, call it a fetus. Okay, that's the medical term for it. There's also the zygote, which is the very first first trimester.
Zygote, embryo.
Right. But it's a human.
Yeah. Well, who cares about the chemical part of the manufacturing part? Who cares about that part?
No, I'm talking about it's a human. Yeah. It's a human.
A woman
no matter
cares
what it
about
is, how
that,
you,
too.
But not according
That's
to the government. You're considered
body.
A product. That is,
that,
you are a product. You are not a human.
No. A woman. Okay, CJ. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Y'all got to do this. Go ahead.
So, anyway, I feel that, no matter what, it's a human. I'm not carrying, a dog or anything else. And if basically, if you can have bacteria, on Mars, be alive, why can't, a person carrying a fetus, a zygote, or whatever, it's a human. It's a life.
Right.
And this life form should be protected. But there are circumstances that... as far as the woman's life being in danger, and so decisions have to be made. Even in that case, I would say you would have to still have it and let the baby have life. You created this, and now you've got to give it a chance. And so if there was a decision between the baby and the mom who lives, I would choose the baby. And just because it deserves life that I created, with my partner. And so I don't know if I could see any reason as far as to have it removed, to have it exterminated, to kill it. I've just always been that way. I have two children myself, and so that's
well, you got to figure out who I am, Susan. You know how I am about shit.
Yeah.
You got to feel sorry for my kids.
Back.
You do.
We go back. Right, Ron?
Yes, ma'am. But I, you know, but I'm pretty well blunt about things I say. You know, I don't care. I mean, I believe in free will, and I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in fucking everything the Constitution carries, except a couple things I'm not really too happy about. But they, you know, it shows that part of the Constitution shows me the effective power of money, which comes down to money. But you know, like I said, it's I believe in free will. If a person decides to have an abortion within 3 months' time, that's up to them. That's cool with me. Any further than that don't seem too cool. I mean, I can understand regret and why did I do this? Why left it at me? All that kind of crazy shit. But there, you know, that's, you know, the cycle of life. But the thing is, you understand something. They don't. The government doesn't consider us human. Not at all. They consider us a product. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. What they're wanting to do is modify the manufacturing factor. I know that sounds fucking completely opposite of what you think, but it's exactly what they're doing. That's what they do. They're known to fucking, you know how they are. They smile. They're always happy, and everything's fine and good in your favor. But in reality, something else is up. You know what I mean? So that's what they've done. And of course, they're trying to make these laws and rules. I don't believe they should be there existing. I believe people should have the choice to do what they need to do or want to do. You know, it's just some, you know, some fact. I just can't see where, okay, I'm not saying I'm a bleeding heart or anybody else, but I understand it is a life. It is, that's true. But some people, one, probably can't afford it, stuff like that, you know, won't do the right thing to have the baby and give it to somebody that can't do it. You know what I mean? That would be the right thing to do in my world. That's what I'd say, perfect. That would be perfect. I mean, that'd be a total fucking utopia. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, remember the people we're dealing with, you know?
When I made my comment, as I had said, in my opinion, for me personally, right, this is, you know, what I think.
Mm-hmm.
On as far as the laws go, it should be between the doctor and the patient what goes on with their bodies, you know, as any type of medical procedures done. And that's, you know, I mean, that, like I said, for me, this is what I think about it. I would never do it. But there are others who may, but that's between the doctor person,
right,
you know, that it's affecting, or persons, because if that person has a partner, you know, these are decisions.
Now,
that
let me ask you a question, CJ. Let me ask you a question. What if the doctor's on the payroll?
On the payroll of, for what? Of course, he's going to be on a payroll. I'm not.
Meaning, the doctor is going to do what's fiscally responsible. He's not going to take into consideration the human element. He's just going to look at it from a monetarily standpoint of view. And his bottom line, the institution that he's working for, the organization that he's working for, the hospital that he's working for, and if there's a quota that he has to meet, because the doctors that we're talking about when it comes to childbirth, these are specific. This is a what they call a specialty. What are doctors that do childbirth? What are they called?
Optometrist.
No,
that's
an
eye doctor.
OBGYN.
Yeah, okay, no,
OBGYNs
are gynecologists. That's
yeah.
Those are the same doctors.
We're talking about, okay.
Oh, pediatric?
No, those are child doctors. Here, let's make it simple. We're talking about doctors that specifically deliver babies. So when they are on the payroll.
OBGYN.
Yeah, that's the OBGYN.
Those are gynecologists.
Gynecologists is for the women's productive. I mean, you know, for the women, for
Those are OBGYNs.
Right. And they're the ones that check the baby and all of that and deliver my baby. And
all right. OBGYN is on the payroll. He's a prominent OBGYN. He's getting paid based on birth rates versus terminal birth rates. What is he going to do? Where does the money
land? They don't. That would be unethical, first of all. But also, these doctors can be incentivized to abort babies through the stem cell research side thing that they've got going on. So,
Okay. Now, there we go. Here's what you said. In the first sentence, you said it could be unethical. In the second sentence, you said it can be ethical based on.
Didn't say it was ethical. Just said that they would be incentivized to perform those abortions. Yes. Not ethical, but incentivized.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. I stand corrected. Now, here's what I will say. Here's what I will say. When you say that it's incentivized, all of a sudden, it becomes ethical for them. Go ahead, my brother. I know you wanted to chime in. Go ahead.
No, there are hospitals and organizations that run hospitals that have been sued by the government because they refuse to do abortions on moral ground, you know? And OBGYN, I can see being sued because they refuse to do an abortion because of moral and ethical feelings that they have, you know?
Right, because usually in situations like that, the woman is about to come to term and it's too late because you're just tearing up a human being at that point. That's usually if an OBGYN refuses to do an abortion, that's usually in the middle of the second trimester going into the third, because now the baby is starting to fall.
Don't say that happens with all of them. You know, an OBGYN.
No, I'm not saying that happens with all of them.
May morally not do it because they feel that it is morally wrong, and they will refuse.
I got you.
They will refuse to do the operation.
Gotcha.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay,
right.
I'm with that.
Here's the deal, guys. Think about this. Okay, and I've heard this before, but I've checked it out. At one point, there was a rule in certain medical schools that to pass out of medical school, you had to perform an abortion.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't know if it's still there. I mean, I would assume that in like Harvard Med or whatever. All these liberal med schools, you know, that rule is there. It might have been an AMA rule. I don't know, but to pass out of medical school.
I'm part of that project. I'm a living abortion.
It can't be a part of AMA. And then be a part of specific schools. It's got to be one or the other. Because if it's part of AMA, that's going to transfer into every single medical institution. And we're not talking about universities. We're talking about when you're doing your 4 years to get your MD. So you've already gotten your undergraduate degree. You're doing your internship.
Right. I'm pretty sure the rule was there at some point. And I'm pretty sure
that I don't know if my sister had to do it, if she's a doctor, or her husband had to do it because he became, well, he's a research doctor, but he's a doctor, so he might have had to do it. But from what I understand, that rule was there in these med schools that you had to do this to pass, to graduate.
So,
you know?
So basically what you're saying is they had to be able to successfully do an abortion to advance in their field of study. Not that they were going to be doing abortions. They just had to know how to do it. They just had to know how to do it.
Right. Now, granted, I don't think my sister had to do it.
That makes sense.
Right. I don't think my sister had to do it because I don't know. I don't know if she went to LSU med school. And I don't know if that rule, it might have been on a med.
That makes sense. That makes sense, though.
Yeah, it might have been on
that
a school, on a per school. I mean, if you went to, like, Harvard Med or Stanford or you know, any of these med schools in these liberal states, it could have been in those med schools. I don't think it was in the med school that my sister went or her husband went.
So what you're saying is that they had to be trained in how to perform an abortion.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes. To graduate.
Not that they had to actually do abortions. They just
right.
had to be
and,
trained
well,
in
think,
how
think,
to do it.
I think the way I read it at one point was they had to actually do one to graduate. Cause
really?
That's part of that, at one point that was part, and a lot of these, and it was a big deal because a lot of these, like, Catholic colleges that had med schools or didn't want to have that rule.
Mike, do me a favor and find that. Cool. Look it up on Google it or whatever browser you use.
Now, I want to add something here. I'm a ex-professional athlete. You can only do stuff like that, and I'm an ex-professional athlete from the 80s. So science in sports is probably 20 years ahead of what the general public understands. So I understood what they were doing with cadavers in 1980 with cadavers. Had to get arthroscopic surgery on both knees, torn Achilles, and they were taking parts. Let me tell you guys something. They were taking parts off of cadavers. And this is how they do you in professional sports. They experiment on you. It's not, it becomes advanced science, but it doesn't start out that way. And they just put whatever part that you messed up, they take it from a dead body, cadaver, i.e. dead body. They take it from that body and they put it into you. So I got cadaver part to me, and it furthered my career. With that being said, in what you were just saying in terms of this whole embryonic fetus life thing is that they're teaching our doctors how to terminate life in a way that is not intrusive. When I say obtrusive, it doesn't like make people feel bad about what they're doing. Is that what you're saying? They can do it in a way that where it just makes people feel comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're not calling it murder.
Right. Here's what it,
what are they calling it? What are they calling?
To the guy who's talking, and to, I believe this is our friend from California there. Here's what it says.
Yeah.
In 1996, the ACGME obstetrics and gynecology program requirement IV4.A.2 dot D asserted that although no program or resident with a religious or moral objection shall be required to perform, provide training in or to perform induced abortions, access to the experience with induced abortions must be part of the residency education.
Do you guys understand that language? As an ex-athlete, I understand exactly what that means. Do y'all understand what that means?
Yeah, but
induced. Read the first part. Read the first part again. Just the first part. Just the first part.
Okay, it said.
Read that again.
Okay, it said in 1996, the ACGME obstetrics and gynecology program requirement for IV dot A dot two dot C dot D, excuse me, asserted that though no program or resident with a religious or moral objection shall be required to perform training in or to perform induced abortions, access to the experience with induced abortions must be part of the residency education.
Stop right there. You guys need to feel, you guys need to focus on what that just said. That here's the translation. If you're involved in a sport, we can do whatever we want to do. If you're not involved in a sport, this doesn't apply to you. Because when they use the word induced, that means that we are introducing you to something that we have to tell you about, that you have to be willing to take. How many times does the word induced get used in that whole thing? He said it about at least once. I think he said it twice or maybe three times.
Yep.
Induced. Induction.
Well,
yep.
Okay. But the word induced, as far as applied to abortion goes, that's what they do. You don't just have an abortion by yourself. That's why you got to go to doctors, so they can induce, you know, like they induce labor. If you have a baby, you know, in your body 10 weeks or more, then they'll induce labor with drugs, and this way it'll help push the baby out.
That's why I use that example in the sports vernacular, because the average person is not going to know what induced means. They might understand the word. They might know the definition. But when they say induce, that means that we have to pull you in and you have to agree, and then whatever happens after that happens. If it goes bad,
well, I'm focusing on the last sentence of that thing, though. It must be part of residency education. Must is the word.
Oh, okay. Now, let's talk about that. When you said that last part, because that's very important, I'm glad you highlighted that. It must be part of residence. What was the last part?
Residency education.
Okay. Here's the key word. Education. Were you educated on that? because if you weren't educated on it, now you're not responsible.
Right. Well, also, the other key word there is residency. This is after you've graduated med
where
school,
you reside.
And you're going into your residency,
right? Where you reside.
Pass out of your residency, you must have the experience. They're forcing these hospitals, these residency, these like Southern Methodist in Dallas or whatever, or Houston, whatever the one, whatever the MD Anderson or whatever it is in Houston, the big religious hospital in Houston and stuff like that.
Well, you got, wait a minute. If you're talking about Texas, you got SMU, Southern Methodist University. You got the University of Texas. You got Texas Tech. You got the biggest one, which is the largest. Come on. This is the largest Christian university in the country, is in Texas. What's the name of that college? It's not Texas Christian University. It's not University of Texas. It's not Texas Tech. There's one more. And see, I'm in California, and I know this. The largest Christian university in the United States. What university?
Texas A&M.
It's Houston Methodist.
Oh, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Texas A&M. There we go.
Yeah.
Right there. And guess what?
Texas, I'm from California too.
Texas is a hotbed because y'all got all that oil money that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. Man, Texas is an independent state. Did you guys even know that? It doesn't even come under the Articles of Corporation for the United States. Did y'all know that? Texas operates as its own entity. It does whatever the hell it wants to do. Why do you think you have Jerry Jones and Jerry World and the Dallas Cowboys and anything that goes on in Texas? Why do you think you guys don't even have state taxes?
Well, sure. I mean,
you got things like
Minute Maid that grow all kinds of citrus out there, you know?
Now, my girl who just chimed in where she said Texas A&M, right?
Yeah.
Hello? Are you still there?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Yes.
Will you tell people what A&M means with universities? That's agricultural and manufacturing, correct? Or am I wrong?
I think it's mechanical.
Okay.
Engineering.
Agricultural and mechanical engineering?
Mechanical, yeah.
I think so.
So whenever you hear a university that's an A&M, that's an elite institution. And that's coming from somebody that went to UC Berkeley. I know this for a fact.
Well, let me throw a ringer into all of this shit right now.
Okay.
When does life begin?
Uh-oh. Come on. My girls are on here. CJ on here. And then another female chimed in. So they can tell you that. They can tell you that. I'm not qualified. Come on, ladies. Come on.
And the reason why I ask is because that is a very hard fought over question when it comes to reproduction.
That's very true in the political arena. In the political arena. Yes.
However, you know, I mean, the liberals are claiming that it's not life until it's born, or it's, you know, just a mass of cells and shit like that. However, if you ever spent any time watching the Liberal Tree Huggers documentary on animals and stuff like that out in the wild, you know, where they follow a, you know, like a some animal through the life cycle of the mom raising a litter of whatever's, you know, whatever they happen to be following. And do you ever notice that at usually the end of the show, they will show mom getting bred again. And as soon as the male has dismounted the female, their comment and the life cycle begins again.
Yeah, I have noticed that. Yes.
So, I mean, yes. according to them, as soon as the sperm has been deposited, the life cycle begins again.
So we're
those people who are arguing that life starts at conception,
right,
are saying the same thing as those liberal tree huggers are saying when at the end of a documentary, as soon as the male dismounts, they say the life cycle has begun again.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying with that. I would like the females to chime in on this because they're better equipped to tell us how this works. I'm just going to be honest. Now, we can sit here and pontificate all day from male's point of view, but women know. And CJ and the other female, come on, man. Educate us. Let us know.
About what in particular? I mean, the anything with A&M at the end of it.
What did
you
say? Did you hear what he said?
Well, wait a minute. How is there a male and female point of view as to when life begins? Life begins
see?
In precisely the same way for men and women.
CJ, that's why I told you.
It's
come
precisely
in and
the
set
same
the,
way.
Set the record straight. Because these males, they're going to go off the chain
on you.
Wait a minute.
I understand you want to raise battles and sections here. But I'm just saying, the process for conception, insemination, conception, implantation of the uterine wall, the gestation development of the embryo is precisely the same, except for the hormone bath that changes the sexual organ. Other than that, it's
okay.
Identical. So what is the male difference perspective as opposed to the feminine perspective on when life begins? I just want an explanation as to how there can be a differentiation on a male point of view or a female point of view.
Because with the female point of view, the woman is actually has this being inside of her, this human being.
Well, that,
whatever,
that has to do with
whatever
abortion, not when life begins. That has to do with the relative impact of abortion on their lives. Now, I can understand that distinction. What I can't understand is that the differentiation on when life begins has got to be the same for men and women because it's identical.
As far as the explanation of it, yes. But internally,
as far as biologically goes, okay, so however it begins, however it begins, because it can be as described, you know, frozen popsicle, you know, or even some women have gone to the point of getting it, the sperm from a rubber, you know. But however it's inserted is a point of life, and not always, because, you know, sometimes you get pregnant, sometimes you don't. It just depends, the luck of the draw. But at life conception itself, men can walk away, but the woman at that conception point, when that egg meets that sperm inside of her, is, yes, an abortion thing, but also a creation of life itself.
Or even in a test tube, it's still identical. If you can have a child that begins in a laboratory in a test tube, and you,
right,
and you intermix an egg and a sperm cell, and conception begins, that process is identical no matter where the locale of the occurrence.
And to
that,
your
point, at that moment, those chromosomes intertwine. The 23 chromosomes from the mother and the 23 chromosomes from the father, that life begins, period. The same for every single human being that has ever come into existence.
Well, yeah, you can't have life without both. But go ahead, sorry.
To your point, Sarge, what's happening over there in Alabama with this embryo thing, where the libs are, I believe it's Alabama, the libs are fighting it, and because they know that some of those embryos, not all of them are going to be living, but some of them are, you know. And so some of them have taken, you know, if even a quarter of them, of these frozen embryos have taken, you're not going to kill, you know, you're not going to kill, that embryo is no longer an embryo, it's a child.
Right. And that goes precisely to my point. Life begins at conception, period, end of story. No intermingling about it. My physical corporeal existence upon this planet began the moment my mother and my father's sexual reproductive cells came together. That was the beginning of my existence, from then till now, until the moment of my death. And I think it is thus for every single human being, period, end of story. I can't understand how people can say anything other than that. It's simple logic and science.
Yep, that's the way I look at it.
Well, you're only, Sarge, you got to remember that you are only permitted to follow the science when they want you to. Other than that, you can't follow the science. It's against the law.
That seems to be increasingly true. That does seem to be true. I mean, science is relative. You know, I used to believe in the scientific method being absolute. Of course, until new information develops to cause you to change your mind. But whatever existing criteria that was used to prove a matter scientifically, I pretty much thought it was pretty much absolute, given the fact that it's always subject to change, with new evidence also confirmed via the scientific method.
Yeah.
But it would appear increasingly these days, no, the scientific method is subject also to a political analysis and a political test. So I guess we're going to have to revisit a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
You got to also remember this. Science is not science, and it is never settled. Science is never settled. If science was settled, science would end.
Right. But if it was subject to arbitrary criteria, then it wouldn't be science. The way you change it is on the basis of solid evidence, and it is corroborated and verified via that scientific method, then you have a valid reason to change it. I don't see anybody yet who has been able to introduce anything contrary to life beginning at the moment of conception, when two separate and distinct sets of chromosomes intertwine and create a unique human being. I have yet to see anyone offer anything contrary to that notion. I'm still waiting, and if I see credible evidence, I'll happily change my mind.
Man,
man, guys, you know, boy, I think if Sarge had been available last Sunday when we were on with those nutbags, boy, he would have taken him to school.
No.
Hey, guys,
I want to break in here
because we are down to the last 5 minutes of the recorded set show. So after that, we go into no man's land. So just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, I think I am limited by my lack of formal education. After all, I got a high school GED in about 4 months, community college, and city college. I didn't get enough nuance, sophisticated education, indoctrination, rather, at higher
in order
to understand better.
Stop,
so I think what I'm going to have to do
is take
a postgraduate course.
Sarge, you got more college education than me.
3 months? I got 3 months at Malcolm X University in Chicago.
Now, can I tell
you? Wait a minute. It's Chicago State University. I mean, it's Malcolm X University now. When I went there, it was Chicago State University. I was there about 4 months.
Yep. Well, I went from high school into the University of Life straight away.
That's the best education structure.
Now, can I chime in just for a moment? Did you guys get the whole embryo first trimester, second trimester, third trimester? Did we get that resolved in terms of when it's right and when it's wrong to terminate or let life go on?
Well, I don't know what was decided or what the prevailing.
I don't think we're ever going to have a consensus on that.
Was there any sort of prevailing...
Wait, Sarge. Who was that talking?
That's me, Lorianne. This is the
Lorianne.
Okay. So, here, I want to ask you and Sarge and everybody on the panel, I want to ask you guys this question. When we are talking about life being created, do we, as people who are currently living, are we empowered to determine when a life should be able to go on or that life should be terminated? And if we are able to empowered to do that, what is our justification for it?
Oh, it's the same as any other decision, which is arbitrary, subject to the moral codes and the legal codes that a society chooses to institute, like any other question on the matter. I don't understand why that would be limited. We assign all sorts of even arbitrary strictures and restrictions on all matters of human conduct. I cannot think of a more fundamental matter upon which to make a decision than life itself, the right to live. Fundamental can things get than that.
But Sarge, aren't political elections won and lost based on this very issue?
What else is new in human affairs?
Wait a minute. What is either moral/ethical or unethical/immoral? Don't we decide elections based on that?
Yes, we do. And I will say to you that the reason it is so fraught with passion and emotion is because people recognize the grave implications of what is being done. It is not like a decision about how much to raise taxes or whether or not to allow an increase in, the single-family housing in a particular area. This is a situation that is fundamental to our existence and our notion of transcendent objective moral truth. That is why it is so fought with passion. It is as bad or worse than the argument over slavery. I think it's even more fundamental than that.
I think
if I can actually, the question was posed to me. Answer. It's okay, not you. We were talking about when does life begin, and on that I agree with Sarge. It begins at conception when the sperm, sperm fertilizes the egg and the two start combining and the cells start to divide. That to me is life. Now, is it viable is another question. That fertilized egg might not be viable. More of the times than not, a woman gets pregnant but miscarries and doesn't even know it because it's so early on. For whatever reason, during the cell division, whatever, there is something wrong, and it just goes kaput. Or, for whatever reason, that embryo doesn't implant into the woman's uterus in order to start growing, and so it's shed that way. Or there's something else wrong. So there's all kinds of different things. But with the question of when life begins, yes, it's conception. Now, when is it okay to have an abortion? That's where we will never have a consensus on it. Everybody has their own different opinions on it, but I think we can all agree. Most of us can agree. Even Democrats that want reproductive rights and scream for abortion, even the majority of them, disagree with elective abortion in the third trimester. After viability, after the fetus can actually be born, even if premature, and still be, kept alive in an incubator, stuff like that, which right now I believe is around 24 weeks, in some rare cases sooner, but right around 24 weeks, if that baby is born prematurely, it can still have a very good chance, a more than 50% chance of survival being incubated. Now, with that said, yes, it is a life. It is a complete and independent life that is inside the mother. It has its own blood. It has its own everything. That's the beauty of the woman's body, for the uterus to create the placenta, and the placenta does the exchanges of nutrients, blah, 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 blah. Now, for me personally, I do believe that when the mother's life is at risk, it's okay. And the reason why I say that is because if anybody else threatened my life as a woman, I have the right to defend myself and kill that other person. Even if that other person is my own unborn child inside me, if that pregnancy is very, very likely to lead to my death, say with hemorrhaging, whatever, permanent life-threatening injury, whatever, if I continue that pregnancy, then to me that is an acceptable exception because it is in my own self-defense for my own life. Now, other people can disagree with me, and that's fine, and that's why I'm saying I don't think we'll ever get a consensus on that part of it. I think that we need to come up with something that nobody's going to be 100% happy with, but that the vast majority can agree on. And I think that that point when abortion should no longer be allowed, with the exception of the life of the mother is at risk, I think should be at viability outside of the womb. Because that viability outside of the womb is going to change as technology grows, as science grows. That 24 weeks is going to become 22 weeks. It's going to become 20 weeks. It's going to become sooner and sooner that we are going to be able to take a premature birth baby that would have been a total miscarriage and dead. We're going to have that ability. So that's going to be able to change. So I think that if that's at least a concept that both sides can agree on, we could make some progress in this argument, is viability outside of the womb. Other than, I said, I would like to see exceptions for the woman's life and health is at stake if she continues the pregnancy, then I think it's a self-defense. Okay, I'm done. That's
well, Laurie, miscarriages that occur as a result of nature, God, or misadventure are something that, you know, nobody can be held at fault at. You know, they're not done with the deliberate intention of destroying the life in the womb. So we can kind of set that aside. I mean, I understand that a lot of women have miscarriage and never even aware they had one. So clearly that cannot be included in the type of procedures that we're talking about. And I agree with you completely that a mother whose life is imperiled and threatened, and even her physical health, I'm talking about a serious consequence to her physical health, if it's imperiled by her continued pregnancy, she has a right to terminate that because no one is required to give up their life for another. So on that, we have agreement. Now, to when and where it is acceptable to abort the human life. For me, I don't have any whatsoever distinctions between a child that is in the first trimester or in the last. Even a child conceived in rape and incest, although I understand I'm probably going to lose on that one. And if I have to lose on that one, so be it, as long as the other ones are allowed to live. So even raping is because the child had no say-so in what his father did. Child is innocent. You want to execute somebody, execute the rapist. I'm all for that. I'd be for reinstituting the death penalty for rape in certain specific cases, but not the child. The child's completely innocent. They always are, all of them that are aborted. So as a matter of principle, and I believe in basing law in principle, as a matter of principle, all human life has the same intrinsic value at any stage of development once those 46 chromosomes come together.
Absolutely.
Lori, well, can I ask you a question, Lori? I'm sorry. Go ahead, host. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, I am not the host. Robert's the host. He's sitting back there staying out of the ring right now. He's just watching.
I'm actually sitting back here and listening. This is pretty interesting.
I would like to ask a question to Lori and CJ. Question. Real simple and easy. Are you pro-life or are you pro-choice?
Well, I am pro-life with what I just explained.
Pro-life. She's pretty absolute.
I pretty much already answered that question.
Sarge, I didn't ask you.
I'm just going to say why your answer wasn't clear.
I asked CJ, pro-life or pro-choice? Now, when I asked that question, that includes everything that Lori talked about, meaning that there could be complications, there could be mishaps, there could be biological implications, you know, meaning that can happen, all of that. So when I'm asking a very simple question, it's very complex, but you have to consider all those things. And Sarge, I'm not asking you. You can't give birth. Sorry, dude. Nice try.
Wait a minute, so I don't have an interest in human rights because I can't give birth? What if I was a 90-year-old woman?
You know, I'm not asking.
Wait a minute, what do 90-year-old women have a say-so in this discussion?
This dude.
I mean, I'm trying to understand how you can exclude half the human race from an argument as fundamental as this. How is that possible?
I'm not excluding you.
You just said I don't have a say for it because I can't get birth.
I just want to hear what.
Well, I understand that, but you just said I am excluded by my sexual happenstance.
In this particular question.
Well, yeah, if you're going to ask me, should you be allowed to have an abortion? Well, yeah, I'm going to have to yield to the women on that one. But not on whether or not it is proper for society to implement a sanction against it. On that, I have every right to opine.
this is why me and this dude, man. CJ, Lori, please get in here. So we
are you asking me?
Get in here.
Me?
Yes,
yeah.
Suzanne.
Suzanne or CJ? Okay.
I'm sorry.
You know, when I think about the whole abortion thing, what's going on in our society today, and how it was brought about, and how it divides the country, and these terms that are used in order to make the human life at the very earliest stage appear to be not human, that it's something else. And they'll refer to it, too, as just a cell. It's not nothing yet, but it's still alive. And so for that purpose, I mean, our society has turned to, I would say, savagery to justify killing that type of, life. I mean, you cry, people cry over puppies that get run over or whatever. But as far as an actual human life, it's not even thought of as having any value, as Sarge had said. For me, I'm pro-life, to answer your question specifically. And I don't think it's, as far as it right to kill a life, a baby, for any reason, in any case. But again, the life is a right to determine my self-determination of life or the child itself. It's a choice that a mother would have to make, or a female that's carrying a baby technically is a mother, but I mean, nevertheless, I think that's what that would entail there. As far
All
as
right.
the type of rape goes, that, that right there, I'm a Sarge on that one. Don't blame the child. It's the life. And why take the life?
Okay. Let me ask you this, just a follow-up question. This is just a follow-up question.
Okay.
And based on what Lori was talking about, where it was the child, you're in the third trimester, and there's complications, and it may cost your life. This is when I posed the question, pro-life and pro-choice. You're actually pro-life. However, in a situation like that, would you be pro-choice, where you would just say, all right, let's go through with this, even if it's going to risk my life? And the only reason why I'm asking this is because as men, we talk about this and we make laws about this, but we don't really understand biologically how this works. We really don't. And I'm going to be honest with you. When men talk about abortion and childbirth and all that, man, they just on the top of the hill screaming to the mountains. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Now, I'm 63 years old. I have a son. I was there when my son was born. I don't know what my wife at that time, I don't know physically what she was going through, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. So I ask those questions because I know you women can educate us on what it's like, even though we can never experience that.